Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Petzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have my polling expert in residence, Rolf Lindgren, here to join us. After the break, I want to begin with some stories, however, to feature the situation, place it in context as we look toward the midterm, which I have to add may or may not come to pass for reasons I'll ultimately explain. If there have been major voting blocs supporting the Democrat Party in the past, it has been blacks overwhelmingly, Latinos, Hispanics, tremendously, and of course, white liberal women. Well, I've already reported how Latinos and blacks are disaffected with the Democrats. Remember, Hispanics are overwhelmingly Catholic. Catholics across the board, even including Democrats, have been appalled by the abortion on demand right up to the moment of birth, where you even have some Democrat officials, like a governor of Virginia, advocating infanticide, finishing the job after born live. That's infanticide. That's murder. Even under Roe, which I personally thought was a very wise decision, because it left the determination of whether or not to carry a fetus to term up to a woman in her particular set of circumstances, which can be almost infinitely varied, and did not compel anyone to carry a fetus to term, as well as did not compel anyone to secure an abortion. But where during the first two trimesters it was legal, during the first unrestricted and the second where the state could regulate how it was done, and then at the end of the second trimester, viability enters where the developing entity could survive outside the intrauterine environment, which is not a function of brain and heart development, but rather of the lungs, at which point, in effect, the court declared personhood came into play. Where under the law, murder is the illegal killing of a person. So an entity that's not yet a person cannot be the subject of a murder. If you shoot a dog or a cat, for example, you can't have committed murder because dogs and cats are not persons. Well, according to the court, the developing fetus, until it reaches the end of the second trimester, is not a person either, but at that point assumes a first primitive right to life, to not be terminated other than for the sake of to save the life or the health of the mother. I felt this was a wise decision. But notice, and those who are pro-life seem to overlook, that abortion for any other reason during the third trimester is murder. So, you know, I mean, this idea of unrestricted abortion right up to the moment of birth is actually politically the least popular position among Americans, but it's the most enthusiastically advocated by the Democrats, which is one more reason why this being their key platform over above January 6th allegations of undermined democracy, which they have been doing hand over fist massively and intend to do yet again here in the midterm election. And of course, I mean, the massive migration in, I mean, for God's sake, what could be worse than allowing an open invasion of the United States? What could be more dereliction of duty? What could be more reprehensible? What could be a greater form of treason? But the Democrats want to ignore it all. They want to press voting rights because they want to have everyone be able to vote, whether you have a signature or not, whether you're dead or alive or not, whether you're, you know, vote early and vote often. That's a Democrat's program. Vote early and vote often. I'm reminded of an interview with Lyndon Johnson in a graveyard where he was writing down the names of the decedents, where he said, these folks are as entitled to vote as anyone alive. And of course, they were all dead. I mean, Lyndon had a knack. He also, of course, was the brains behind the assassination of JFK. You've heard me address many times. Well, here's the latest. This is rather stunning. Poll. White suburban women favor GOP by 15 points, prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. I can't begin to tell you how devastating this is to the Democrat prospects for the midterm. White suburban women favor Republicans by 15 points, moving 27 points away from Democrats since August, a Wednesday Wall Street Journal poll found. The demographic of white suburban women representing 20% of the electorate is a key indication of which party will control Congress after November 8th. Among the greatest concerns is the Democrats' soaring inflation. 66% of white suburban women say inflation is causing major financial hardship, up from 54% in August. 54% believe that President Joe Biden's economy is in a recession. 74% say his economy is headed down the wrong track. By contrast, abortion, the issue Democrats are most touting before the midterm election, is less relevant than the sagging economy. It's absolutely true that these women have shifted their gaze more on the economy than abortion, said Democrat pollster Molly Murphy. Overall, 74% of white suburban women said the nation is headed in the wrong direction, up from 65% in August. And by the way, historically, that has been the weather vane to indicate how a midterm election is going to turn out. Is the nation headed in the right or the wrong direction? Biden's approval among the demographic has also shrunk. In August, it was above water at 51% to 48%. Wednesday's point, it's now dramatically underwater, 38% to 60%. In other words, 38% approve, 60%. White liberal women disapprove of Biden's performance. Former President Trump is now more favored than Biden in a 2024 potential matchup among white suburban women. If the 2024 election were between Mr. Biden and former President Trump, 41% of white suburban women said they'd vote for Mr. Biden and 52% for Mr. Trump. In August, 55% said Biden, 39% Trump. Hillary has raised concerns that voters just don't understand how important the midterm is. When she was asked in an interview Tuesday with MSNBC host and propagandist Joy Reid about whether she believed constituents understood what was at stake if Republicans regained control of Congress, Hillary said she did not think so. I think that with all the noise we got in this election season, I don't think people are really able to grasp that, Hillary replied, right? We're all stupid. We're all morons. Hillary has to tell us what to do. Hillary has to tell us what to think. This miscreant, this monster. But more importantly, I'm not sure they really understand the threat to their way of life. They may think that whoever's chairing a committee, kind of abstract. Well, that's just ridiculous. Americans understand perfectly well. They understand the economy's on the wrong, the country's on the wrong track. And Hillary has said even more execrable statements. Here we have Carrie Lake responding to Hillary's statement that Carrie should never win, never win, never occupy the office. This is rather disturbing. Hillary Clinton took aim at Carrie Lake on a satellite radio show, noting she doesn't want her anywhere near power. Hours later, Lake humorously invoked the Clinton body count theory, which by my own tabulation is up to around 200, publicly underscoring that she's in good mental and physical health. Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on SiriusXM Morning with Zerlina on Thursday to drum up resentment for Republicans and to motivate Democrats in the midterm election. Zelina Maxwell, who previously worked for Hillary, but had her MSNBC show canceled earlier this year, raised the issue of violent political rhetoric. Maxwell echoed Chelsea Clinton's sentiment early in the show, telling Hillary, "That was always a whisper of violence around you and your family ever since the early days going back to Arkansas." Maxwell was referring to alleged violent rhetoric pointed at the Clintons, not the numerous people in the family's orbit who, according to the Daily Mail, had died in suspicious circumstances since the early 1990s. Hillary suggested that those whose free speech she perceived to be violent or unacceptable should not be allowed on social media platform. In other words, Hillary's going to censor everyone who disagreed with Hillary. According to her, it's not just free speech that incites violence as a problem, but free speech that is indifferent to how it could be received. All for censorship, all for suppression, all for control of conservative mega supporters, Trump political voters. Beside the marketplace of ideas, having ideas she doesn't like on display, Hillary also expressed frustration with there allegedly being too many male politicians at the local level. Maxwell asked a 75-year-old, "Do you think we will have a woman president?" And of course, that's Hillary's ambition, burning ambition to this very day. Oddly, her mind went to Arizona. The twice rejected presidential candidate said, "I just don't want some woman with whom I profoundly disagree on the other side of the aisle getting there first." Talk about envy. That woman ran for governor of Arizona. "I don't want her anywhere near power," said Hillary, refusing to identify Lake by name. The former president candidate cackled and then stressed, "Never." Hillary claimed that Lake had laughed at House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband alleged assault by an illegal alien. Maxwell advanced the claim, saying, "Anybody who could laugh at a horrifying situation like that, that's not somebody I want in charge of the 7-Eleven." And I'm not quite sure what they meant by the 7-Eleven, but let's take a look at this horrifying attack. Let's ask ourselves, is there any reason to suspect it might be something else, just a bit different? I mean, Elon Musk tweeted, "There is a tiny possibility there might be more to this story than meets the eye." I mean, after all, according to the official narrative, and we always want to contrast the official narrative with the alternative, this homeless guy who's supposed to be a mega supporter broke into the Pelosi $6 million mansion, which has massive security and closed-circuit television coverage, and assaulted Paul Pelosi, but was asking, ranting, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" and declared he was going to wait until she returned home, which, who knows, that could be a week or 10 days, so he was going to camp out in the Pelosi mansion, and attacked him with a hammer. According to the district attorney, there is no evidence that the parties knew each other. I mean, let me give you a little bit about what the district attorney said at a news conference Monday in San Francisco. The DA, whose name is Jenkins, this is a woman, said the attack appeared to be politically motivated, citing DePape, David DePape, statements in the federal affidavit and comments during the incident indicated he was looking for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Jenkins said DePape broke through a rear glass window and sneaked into Paul Pelosi's bedroom in the middle of the night while he was asleep. The DA said there was no security present at the home of the person who is third in line to the presidency. I believe she's actually second, isn't it? I mean, if the president, then the vice president, then the speaker of the House, and the president pro tem of the Senate, as I understand. So she's actually second. Police said that when they arrived, they found two men struggling over a hammer. DePape struck Pelosi at least once, they said, before being tackled by officers. Responding to a question, Jenkins said police body cam footage will be made public if it's played in a court proceeding. In other words, if the court introduces the body cam, but otherwise not a chance. The charges that we're filing today include attempted murder, residential burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, false improvement of an elder, as well as threats to a public official and their family. Paul Pelosi, of course, is not a public official. And it would not be false imprisonment if he were there as a guest of Paul Pelosi, nor would it be elder abuse. And the deadly weapon is alleged to be a hammer. Jenkins told reporters Sunday night that at the time the suspect had entered the Pelosi home, he was in fact looking for Mrs. Pelosi, referring to the House Speaker. The DA said she wanted to make it clear there were only two people in the home at the time the police arrived, Mr. Pelosi and the suspect. There was no third person present, which raises a rather significant question. Then who let in the police? If they came in and the police saw them struggling over a hammer, obviously neither Paul Pelosi nor David DePape was there to open the door to let the police in. So you got the district attorney of San Francisco making blatantly absurd comments and we're supposed to buy it. And get this, we have nothing to suggest these two men knew each other prior to this incident. That's the district attorney of San Francisco. Now you got this interesting tweet from Elon Musk saying there's the tiniest possibility there might be more to the story. The tiniest possibility that there might be more to the story, he tweets. Well, what could possibly justify that? Could it be that the police dispatch audio, Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, said he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend? Let's see, what did that DA say? There's no evidence they knew each other. Paul Pelosi calling in with his emergency call. He doesn't know who the male is, but advised that his name is David and that he's a friend. Here's a transcript. RP, that's a reporting person, stated there's a male in the house and he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend, the dispatch official said. RP sounded somewhat confused. Why? Because he's contradicting himself. I think he had second thoughts when he said he doesn't know who it is, since it's going to be relatively uncomplicated to establish they know each other, presumably. So he adds, his name is David and he's a friend, but the DA tells us there's no evidence they knew each other. Later in the day, the FBI visited a Berkeley home linked to DePap, which neighbors call the Hippie Collective. I mean, now this guy's supposed to be a mega guy, right? A mega guy. Elon Musk has shared a lurid, baseless conspiracy theory on Twitter about what transpired the night of the violent hammer attack on Paul Pelosi, just days after he took over the social media platform on the promise of stripping away content moderation. On Saturday, former Secretary of State Hillary hit members of the GOP for spreading hate and deranged conspiracy theory after it emerged that Mr. Pelosi's attacker had been spewing far-right conspiracy theories online in the lead-up to the Friday assault. Now, this guy lives in this hippie collective. They have a big BLM sign there. They favor marijuana. I'm telling you, this is all so absurd. Some of the comments on exactly what was going on here in response to the original story about Paul calling in are fascinating. Get this. Biden's a fraud. This is the handle, of course. The police verified that they were both in their underwear attacking each other with a hammer. Paul Pelosi's lover, David DePap, a Berkeley Green Party member, is very likely the unidentified person who was with Paul when he got busted for DUI. A lot more what is going on than meets the eye. Dick Turpin. And police seem to have dropped the assailant broke into the house tag. The assailant was in the house, but did not break in. What does that tell us? The White House. I want to hammer this home. The break-in story is far beyond far-fetched. The Pelosi's have security up the yin-yang under normal circumstances. This was likely a drug-fueled party scene or a lover spat. Suspicious voter, definitely. And this cockamamie story in the press is ridiculous. Consider this. One story said the alarm went off and police were doing a welfare check. The story has so many holes, it was probably concocted by the corrupt, inept FBI. Live free or die. There was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Dorothea, 76. Broken glass was found inside the house, not inside the home. Breaking in would cause glass to be inside the house. The man found in only his underwear with Paul Pelosi was also in the car when Pelosi was arrested for DUI, and some sites claim the guy's a male prostitute, and the hammer they were fighting over is a sex toy. The 911 call has been released, and Paul B. sounds confused per report, John Galt. The confusion in the reports about the hammer is because it was a 24-ounce dildo called the hammer, sources concern. Nick Fascialdo, Pelosi got pounded by a prostitute with a plastic penis? Live free or die. There was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Let it be me. His backside was forcibly entered. You can bet your undies on that, Mr. Freedom Fighter. Eric, can you blame him? Naked Hammer Man sounds more appealing than denture malfunction Hillary. Nancy, Anaconda, gross, ha 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 ha. Fred L., nasty Nancy could be the cause of erectile dysfunction worldwide. John Mansville, little Polly has been getting into lots of trouble while Mama Piglosi away. John Campbell. David DePap was a nudist, so maybe underwear was his way of wearing armor. Delta Blues. Misidentified as a nudist if underwear is involved. Here's an excellent commentary. No break-in. 911 call for over a half hour. Paul is in underwear. Assailant in underwear. Both are only one had a hammer. Assailant took hammer from Paul and hit him with police present. Police were only doing a welfare check in this gated community with private security. Broken window is from inside, his glasses on outside. He thinks a man like Paul who hangs out in gay bars and brings young men home late night is attested to by neighbors had a spat with his date. His date is a radical leftist, not a MAGA man. His date is registered green, lives in Berkeley in a nudist colony supporting BLM. I did my own search for the hammer, adult sex toy love, hammer, pink ground vibrator hammer, 9433. Batteries not included. It looks like a hammer. And there's a rather fascinating report by Harry Vox on my blog, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Pelosi's ass hammer, Harry Vox. And he's showing that David DePup told investigators he and Paul Pelosi were engaging in gay sex and an argument ensued over drugs. The Pelosi's are refusing to turn over the surveillance video of their home, fueling more speculation of homosexuality in the home. And this is so salacious. This is so lurid. It's going to smother any other efforts of the Democrats to get other stories out that they regard as more favorable as we run up to the midterms. This is a catastrophe. And you can well appreciate why Hillary is going on a rampage. And look how corrupt it is. This is fascinating on so many levels. The fake news reports, they're all going with a Democrat agenda. We even have the district attorney subverting the law. There is no charge against him for breaking and entering because there was no breaking and entering. Paul Pelosi was not only treated for a skull fracture, being hit over the head by this hammer, a vibrating dildo loaded with batteries would be like hit over the head with a heavy flashlight, but he was also treated for cuts to his right hand and arm, which evidently occurred when he broke out the glass to try to simulate a break-in at the home. And just remember, how could the police have entered the house if someone didn't come and open the door? And how was Paul Pelosi able to make the phone call if they were in a struggle over a hammer? What did he say? David, look, I got to take a leak. And David let him go to the bathroom so he could call in on the cell. I mean, the whole story is just absurd on his face. And Hillary's attacking Carrie Lake because Carrie Lake finds the whole thing just absolutely stunning, even hilarious. It is hilarious. It is stunning. And it's pathetic. And it's sad. And it's tragic. And the Democrats are trying to cover it up. Back with Paul.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to introduce a longtime guest on this show, Rolf Lindgren, who graduated in mathematics from UW-Madison. He's quite an expert on polling. He's also really effective here in Wisconsin in promoting Republican Party events, and he's been a dear friend for many years. Rolf, welcome to the Raw Deal.
Hello, Jim. Glad to be here. I'm getting ready for the big red tsunami.
Yeah. Well, just go on, Rolf. I was explaining before you showed that the latest polling is showing that even white liberal suburban women are going for the GOP overwhelmingly and even prefer Trump over Biden.
I saw that polling data, and what I believe is going on, and first of all, I believe that that's true, that white suburban women are switching to the Republican Party, and they're definitely switching away from the Democrat Party. I think part of the reason is because the polling was rigged all summer, and because the media wanted you to believe that everybody was upset about abortion. Of course, in blue states, abortion is still legal. And in red states, it's becoming illegal, but in red states, most people don't like abortion. So that's, I think, part of the shift is just simply that the polling has to be more accurate as you get closer to the election. I would also argue that the crime rate, I think that women are probably more worried about crime than men for themselves and their children. And then the third thing is all this sex in the schools and all this stuff. I think that people are just getting really disgusted by it. And a lot of people, when they first hear this, they don't know if they believe it or not. But the closer you get to the election, the more people are like, yeah, this is actually true. They actually are doing this, you know. So I think that there's a couple shifts. I think a lot of these are the same people who were voting for Trump back in 2016, and they're just coming back because, remember, when Trump was president, he was vilified like no one's ever been vilified before in U.S. history. And a lot of people are realizing, wait a minute now, you can yell and scream about Trump, but what really matters are the policies that they're committing, that they're doing, and the Republicans just have better policies on pretty much every issue right now. So that's that. And of course, suburban women, white suburban women, care about everything else too, like immigration, crime, inflation, you know, voter fraud. They care about all the other issues too. So it's not just the issues that we mentioned. So that's a big factor. And if the Democrats lose these voters, then their goose is cooked. And I believe we're going to have the biggest midterm landslide on Tuesday since the 1894 midterm, not the 1994 midterm, which was very big. That's when the Republicans took the House after 40 years. I'm talking about 1894, which was much worse than 1994 for the Democrats. They lost 123 to 130 House seats that year. And there wasn't even as many people in the House back then.
Well, go ahead, Rob.
Okay. So right now, some of the projections, the three of the key states are, we're talking about the Senate, U.S. Senate here, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania all are looking like they're going to be Republican. And I would say they are going to be Republican. And then the fourth one, which is a little bit more iffy, is New Hampshire. And Real Clear Politics is already projecting New Hampshire. I think that New Hampshire is going to be won by General Don Bolduc, who's the candidate there. He just got endorsed by Tulsi Gabbard, and he just got endorsed by Trump, and then he just got endorsed by DeSantis. So that's going to get all the voters out, all the Republicans who were skeptical of him, which is one of the reasons why polling can be misleading. By the way, if you're a Republican running and most Republicans in your own state don't even know who you are, then you're going to have a lower poll number. But what happens is as you get closer to the election, most Republican voters will just vote Republican. Same with Democrats. So if you have a Democratic candidate running against an incumbent, initially often their poll numbers will be lower. But then they'll come up as people find out who they are. Now, as far as Wisconsin, I'm predicting that Ron Johnson will win by 7 to 10% and keep his seat. And then he's going to go on and investigate the origins of the COVID virus and among other things in his third term. Tim Michaels for governor looks like he's going to win by 3 to 4%. He's going to be a pro-Trump governor. He's going to be a good, really good governor, and he's going to be in place for when Trump runs for president and is elected. What we need is more Republicans in office, because although we know Republicans generally don't do as much as we want them to do, we say that about politicians our whole lives, and it's true, but the reason why people like Trump is that Trump actually does things. But Trump can't do as much if he doesn't have pro-Trump people in the Senate, in the governorship, in the House. And when he was president last time, it was packed with anti-Trump people, including Republicans who didn't like him. Now those Republicans are being weeded out. At each election since 2016, we've been weeding out more and more of those anti-Trump Republicans. And now we're to the point where there's not that many of those left. And after this election, we'll have even fewer. A good example would be Ohio. In Ohio, we have an anti-Trump senator there named Rob Portman. he's retiring, and he'll be replaced by a Trump senator, J.D. Vance, the author of the Hillbilly Elegy. We also have an anti-Trump senator in Pennsylvania who's retiring, Pat Toomey. He'll be replaced by Dr. Oz. In Georgia, we're going to have a new pro-Trump senator, Herschel Walker. And in Arizona, when Trump initially was in office, he had two anti-Trump senators, Jeff Flake and John McCain. Well, now we're going to have Blake Masters, who's a very pro-Trump senator. And we're also going to get a pro-Trump senator in Nevada and a pro-Trump senator in New Hampshire. And then the only other races that are on the board for possibilities would be Washington State, where there's another pro-Trump senator named Smiley. I'm not going to go out and predict her that she's going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised. She could pull it off against Patty Murray. And also, there's also an outside chance, but we can look at the numbers in Connecticut. And also, there's an anti-Trump Republican running in Colorado that has an outside chance of winning. But I doubt if he's going to win, because if you're an anti-Trump candidate, it's going to be impossible to win in a battleground state, because if the Trump supporters don't support you, if you're a Republican and you don't get the Trump supporters, you're just not going to win. Unless you're in an overwhelmingly Democratic state, you're just not going to win. So the Colorado guy, I think his name is O'Day or Odell or something, he's going to lose. So things are looking great. And also, you have to remember that the Senate, the United States Senate, is the key to the future of this country besides Trump, because the only thing that's going to stop Trump when he's the president in 2025 is the U.S. Senate. That's the only thing that could stop him. He'll be able to get bills through the House just like that. He'll snap his fingers, get Kevin McCarthy to write the bill, and then it'll get through. We're going to have an overwhelming margin in the House. Right now we're going to be above 240, maybe 250. By the time we get to the 2024 elections, it may go up even higher. So the House will pass the bills. The only place they can be blocked is in the Senate. Trump is going to be relentlessly pushing when he starts running for president to get rid of Mitch McConnell and to get rid of the filibuster once he's the president. And once the Senate is controlled by Republicans, Trump is going to relentlessly push to get rid of the filibuster, because that's the only thing that's going to block massive legislation by President Trump. President Trump could be the first president since Lyndon Johnson, who was a bad president, who could massively reshape America by legislation. Lyndon Johnson put bill after bill after bill through the Congress, the Great Society. He nationalized gun control laws. He nationalized insurance policies. He nationalized and massively, essentially made the Department of Education into a massive operation. He did so many different laws were passed under Lyndon Johnson. He also did the Civil Rights Act, which was a good thing, although it could have been written better. So he did a couple good things, mostly the extensions of the Kennedy agenda. But most of the stuff that Lyndon Johnson did was not part of the Kennedy agenda. And he did most of it after he was reelected in 64. So now we can at least reverse back to the 60s, possibly under Trump. Trump can, with all the experts, because remember, whenever you reduce the size of government, there's always going to be problems, because people get used to big government. So the people who get used to big government, you know, they start to complain and everything. So it's going to be a tricky situation. That's why government rarely gets smaller, but we're going to have the position, we'll be in a position to do it. Trump will have advisors like Rand Paul to help him cut the size of government, and people like Mike Lee, who's also way ahead in his election, by the way. So everything is looking really good, and President Trump could, for example, Rand Paul could be asked by President Trump in the future, hey, can you make me a list of 130 government agencies we don't need anymore? So Rand Paul could give him a list, and then Trump could give that list to Kevin McCarthy and say, pass the bill. Okay, they'll pass the bill. Then you get it to the Senate. That's where the problem will be. And also we have to remember the Supreme Court is on our side right now, so Trump is not going to be blocked by the Supreme Court. Another example where that happened historically was in the mid-1930s, where FDR was getting blocked, not by Congress, but by the Supreme Court. Of course, FDR was a bad president, especially during the Great Depression. He made the government much bigger. But the Supreme Court blocked him for a few years, but then they kind of gave up eventually. Well, Trump is not going to be blocked by the Supreme Court. It's only the Senate. So that's why the Senate races, to me, are the most important races. Ron Johnson is not only important. I mean, Ron Johnson's very important, but Ron Johnson seems to be way ahead. Now, if you're in Wisconsin, we need you to all go and vote on Tuesday. If you're in Wisconsin, wherever you are, we need you to get out and vote. But we also want people to have the confidence to know that we're likely to win. And things are going to get even better in the next 2 years for Republicans, because in 2024, there's like 12 Democrats up in seats that are either battleground states or red states. And I can list those states really, really quickly. Two of them are Montana and West Virginia. The Democrat senators in those two states are not going to be reelected. Then there's also Democrats up for re-election in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Arizona, and Nevada. All Democrat incumbents up for re-election. Also, Mitt Romney is up for re-election. And although he's a Republican, we want to get rid of Mitt Romney, and he will never be re-elected to the Senate. So the only question is going to be who is going to replace him. Likely another pro-Trump, pro-Mike Lee senator. And then another state to look forward to in 2024 is Bob Menendez, who is also up for re-election. And Menendez, I think from New Jersey, I believe, Menendez has not yet faced re-election since Epstein became a household name. He has an Epstein problem. And I would, plus he also has those other legal problems where he actually had a hung jury and was not retried. So my guess is that Menendez won't even run for re-election, actually. But if he does run for re-election, the Republicans could beat him. So everything looks good by the 2024 elections. After today, we should have 53 to 54 Senate seats, as many as 55. And by 2025, we could have, 60 Senate seats, which is filibuster-proof, theoretically. But Trump isn't going to want the filibuster if he's the president. He's not going to want it. He's not going to want, if you have 60 senators, then you'd have to get 11 Republicans to block legislation. That's going to be almost impossible, because there's not there very many anti-Trump senators left in the Republican Party. So things are looking really, really, really good. Everything is set up for right now. We got a few days till the election. I've been out there campaigning my butt off, campaigning hard. And then I'm going to go out on election night and enjoy the election returns. It's going to be one heck of a night watching those election returns. I'm really looking forward to it. We got the national, we got the state, and we got where I live, the local elections. It's going to be really interesting. And even candidates that do not win, candidates that are in tough districts, I'm looking to see what their vote percentages are, and I'm suspecting they're going to be a lot higher than normal. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I'm sure, I sure agree with you, Rolf. I mean, Gingrich, a week or so ago, was predicting picking up 5 seats in the Senate and 54, 55 in the House. I honestly think it could be even more. I think that the country is so enraged with the Democrats. They've done so much damage to the country. Their positions are so offensive across the board. All their traditional voting blocks, blacks, Hispanics, and even white suburban women have turned against them. I think you could see an even more massive defeat, that basically we're going to be witnessing the deconstruction of the Democrat Party, deservedly so, if we're allowed to have the election, if it is allowed to go forth. I know how you have more skepticism. You're less convinced about the theft of the 2020. In my opinion, there's massive evidence. They're going to try to do it again. I think it'd be much harder because there's going to be so much scrutiny. So my greater concern is the idea of there being an overriding reason not to hold the election. I have reports now about the U.S. is preparing for war with Russia, for actual war with Russia, that we are sending equipment. Listen to this, Rolf. Massive U.S. preparation for direct war with Russia. This is from Investment Watch blog. Leaked classified NATO intelligence. Now the information the government found out that I obtained and does not want to be revealed. Military assets are being moved into place as I write. U.S. is deploying F-15s into Romania. Aircraft carrier strike group on the move through the Mediterranean. U.S. NATO troops being moved into Eastern Europe. 3 weeks ago, very, very quietly, the U.S. began loading M1A1 and M1A2 Abrams tanks onto roll-on, roll-off vessels in the United States. It took about a week for the first of these ships to transit to Greece. Upon arrival, they were unloaded. In the past 2 weeks, the U.S. has sent slightly more than 1,000 M1A1 or A2 Abrams to South Central Europe. They've also sent between 35 and 45,000 U.S. troops in the same time period. Prior to these tanks and troops arriving, the U.S. had the equivalent of one armored division in all of Europe. As of today, they have enough for 3 armored divisions, or in the alternative, 2 armored divisions and 2 or 3 infantry divisions. Tomorrow, and this is, let's see, I believe dated yesterday, tomorrow the Pentagon will begin airlifting weapons to Ukraine. I see this as very dire, Rolf, and I believe the Democrats are so desperate that they would prefer a nuclear war with Russia to allowing the midterm elections to take place. Your thoughts?
Okay. Obviously, we don't like these military buildups. The way I see it is, the powers that be, you can call it the New World Order, they don't really like Republicans. Okay, they don't really like Republicans, but they're not. If they lose an election, a midterm, then they lose the midterm. Okay, what they're really worried about is Trump. So I'm not worried about any crazy shenanigans in this election. I'm just not worried about it. It's also too close to the election for it to work. What I'm worried about is some crazy event next election. That's what I'm worried, because Trump will be running. Now, we already had it in the last election. We had this virus that came out of nowhere. Just as Trump is getting ready to be reelected, maybe build out his majorities in Congress, or not, he didn't have majorities in Congress, but he was looking to take Congress back. He was doing very well at the beginning of 2020. The economy was doing very well. He had just kicked aside that stupid impeachment about the Ukraine. The Mueller probe was over. He was ready to have a nice big reelection. And then all of a sudden this virus came along that miraculously only killed old people but not young people, because normal every other disease in history kills little babies as well as old people the most. But this virus seems to have been engineered to only kill old people and not young people and babies. It came along. It's very contagious, which scares the crap out of people. It's just deadly enough to scare people it's deadlier than the flu, but not that much deadlier than the flu. So it's not like the Black Plague or something that has an 80% death rate. It's got, you know, a 0.5% death rate or not even that high. Probably 0.2% death rate, maybe 0.3% at the most. So it's deadly enough that you have to worry. You do have to concern yourself about it, but not deadly enough to really, you know, wipe out the population like the Black Plague or something like that, or the Plague of Justinian or some other massive plague that occurred in the past. So it was engineered almost like it was engineered. It was probably engineered for bioweapons and then offloaded to China when Obama was, when the election was over, President Obama was still in there. He probably offloaded a couple of these people over to China, and then they could do it in a place where Trump wouldn't have access to it, because they could do it if you're in the Wuhan lab. You know, President Trump isn't going to be able to know what's going on over there. You got a guy like Fauci, you know, funneling the money over there to facilitate it. What they do with when bioweapons research is being done, it's done in a parallel with civilian research for, you know, for the positive side of it, for medical things and stuff like that. But what they do is they covertly funnel the information from the civilian scientists to the covert military people, so they have access to the information and whatever they need, and that's what they did. And then they released this virus probably in the summer of 2019. At some point, it gradually got around, and then eventually it made it to the United States. And then by March of 2020, it screwed up the whole country, because then everybody freaked out, and then then the shutdowns occurred, and then Trump was under a massive pressure. He could be blamed for doing too much. He could be blamed for not doing enough. He couldn't do his rallies because he'd be blamed for doing super spreaders. Biden and who wouldn't have won anyway without this virus, but Biden didn't have to campaign because he was not capable of doing a lot of campaigning. He could stay in his basement and campaign and do well in the COVID situation. Also, the Durham probe was completely screwed up. And the whole thing just hurt Trump, and the economy was killed.
Well, we'll be right back with Rob Lundgren after this break, and we'll take your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
It's very peculiar that the White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain is asserting that Biden's peculiar speech at Union Station Wednesday night was a final warning to election deniers. Here's the report. Biden delivered a speech at Union Station in Washington, D.C. Wednesday night, touching on several topics, such as the attack on Speaker Pelosi's husband, as well as election deniers. He condemned Republicans who deny the results of the 2020 election and said, American democracy is under attack because former President Donald Trump believes the election was stolen. Klain doubled down on Biden's remarks on Thursday, saying Biden was giving one final warning to election deniers. You got to ask yourself, what the hell does that mean? The president has been talking about the threat to our democracy since he launched his campaign in 2019 and again on January 6th and again in September in Philadelphia Independence Hall. I think the president decided a few days ago it was important to issue one final warning on this issue. To make it clear, very clear, leave no doubt, we have people out there still peddling the big lie. People now raising the issue of election denial in this election. And, of course, the horrible incident involving Speaker Pelosi and her family, you know, showing the rising threat of political violence. And so I think all those things came together and led the president to make the strong remarks he made last night. This is very damn peculiar. Rolf, what do you make of that?
Okay, we know that there's going to be some shenanigans with vote counting, but the bottom line is, if you're going to rob a bank, you don't call them up the day before and tell them that you're coming. And Trump already warned the whole country about voter fraud almost 2 years ago. Now, Everybody knows about this voter fraud. It's all everybody knows about it. It's going to be very, very difficult to do any significant voter fraud like was done in 2020. So I'm not worried about it. Here in Wisconsin, we hired 5,000 poll workers, up from only 800 we had in the previous election. We also, in our own county, we only had 40 poll workers in our county in 2020. Now we have 320 poll workers. The poll workers are the people behind the counter. They're the people who check the mail-in ballots, check the voting machines, check the IDs. They check anything. Yeah, we know that some Democrats could go in a secret room and try to do something, but it's just a lot harder to do that when there's lots of Republicans working with you. It's just not easy to do. And the poll workers, you know, they may want Democrats to win, but what are they really going to gain from it if they cheat? I mean, what are they really going to get? Are they going to, you know, they're not going to make an extra $1 billion, that's for sure, or even $1 million. So they just don't have as much of an incentive to do it. If it's dangerous, they're not going to do it. Just today, I don't know if you heard, a poll worker in Milwaukee was just fired. Did you hear about that?
I did. Tell us. Go ahead.
Okay, so essentially what happened is a poll worker who was somehow, and this poll worker has some relationship to the irregularities in 2020, something to do with transferring the thumb drives or something, but she had something to do with a misuse of the chain of custody in 2020. Well, apparently someone just found out that you can order military ballots basically without really doing anything. You can just order a military ballot with no ID or anything. And someone mailed 3 military ballots to Janelle Branchon. She's a state legislator who's been fighting against voter fraud. And it looks like an attempt to set her up, maybe. You know, why does she have 3 military ballots? You know, oh, what is she trying to cheat? You know, so... However, the person who did this, which was a poll worker in Milwaukee, was caught and has just been fired for doing that. Now, there is a legitimate issue here about being able to do this. This is a glut, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a loophole or a glitch, or really it's more than that. It's just a massive security risk that you can order military ballots like this without anything. Anybody can do it, because remember, military ballots are different because you don't have to show ID and everything. The people in the military have different rules for how they do their voting, because they're not here. They're in the military somewhere, often overseas. So this is now there was another guy, if you heard of Harry Waite in Racine County. He's been charged with, now he's a patriot, but he, to show that there was another glitch in the system, he ordered Robin Voss an absentee ballot. But the difference between Harry Waite and this person in Milwaukee is Harry Waite is an outsider. He doesn't work for the government. He's just an activist. Whereas as this poll worker is involved in the vote counting, she's handling all sensitive materials. And, you know, could one person cheat and cause a big number of votes to be changed? Well, I guess we don't really know, but this person's is not going to be behind the counter on election day. So we have to look for more. It's a new story. Developments are just coming on. I haven't got all the information on it, but very interesting development in Wisconsin, especially in the Milwaukee area. Of course, for voter fraud in Wisconsin, you know, I'm in Dane County. It's a very liberal area, Madison, Wisconsin. I don't think that the people in Dane County are cheating, though. I think there's just a lot of liberals that live here, and they vote for liberals. In Milwaukee County, I believe there's a lot more cheating over there. That's where the cheating is. And possibly Racine and Kenosha as well. That's where the cheating is. There could be some, I suppose, up in Green Bay. Green Bay may be shifting back to Republican control, though. The Zuckerbuck money that was in last election. So first of all, Zuckerbucks doesn't have as many Zuckerbucks anymore. He's lost 73% of his market value since about a year ago when he kicked me off Facebook permanently for doing nothing. Well, since then he's lost, you know, $100 billion of his own money, or probably more, and he probably doesn't have as much money to hand out for ballot harvesting. He did announce a while ago that he wasn't doing it this year, which is also goes to my point that they really care about Trump. They don't really care that much about Republicans as much as they care about Trump. But there was ballot harvesting going on in Green Bay in 2020, paid for by Zuckerbucks, George Soros, whoever was forking over the money. That's really been looked at. That's going to be very difficult to do this year. They're trying to do it in Milwaukee, something called Milwaukee Votes, where they're trying to use the local government to somehow, you know, register voters. They're trying to do it there, whether it's going to work or not. They, you know, they probably will get some votes that they don't deserve from it, but it won't be on a massive scale like it used to be. So I'm not really worried about losing the elections on voter fraud. I think that voter fraud in many ways is going to just help Republicans, because people who are worried about voter fraud are more likely to vote. And most people think there is voter fraud. Voter fraud, people know there's voter fraud. Everybody's heard about the Kennedy-Nixon election with the dead people voting. Everybody's heard about that. And then you had the Al Gore election, and then you had the recount in Ohio in 2004, and then people hear about the Russians and all this. So people have heard so many different things about voter fraud, and like I said, frankly, most people don't really know that much about how votes are counted. So if you hear something about a voter fraud antic, unless you're a poll worker or someone, you may say, well, maybe it's true. I don't know if it's true. Now, One thing we're doing here in Wisconsin, I know it's happening around the country, is that more and more people are learning about vote counting. So less and less people are going to believe the bogus conspiracy theories, but they're going to believe the true conspiracy theories, the real ways that they cheat. And there's going to be a massive red tsunami on Tuesday. So if someone steals 100 votes in Milwaukee, it's not really going to do that much, and I'm looking forward to election night. It's going to be an unbelievable night. We hope that these races aren't as close. Some of these Senate races aren't as close, but I'm going to be watching the whole country, not just the whole state.
And of course, as you and I have discussed, If a poll seems to show a race even, that means the Republicans are ahead, because so many conservatives are unwilling to participate in polls. We are opening the lines for you to call in and talk with me and Rolf. The number is 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Please call in. We do have a 608 area caller already here, Rolf. Please have the 608 caller join and give us their first name and their state, which, of course, is Wisconsin, actually Dane County right here. 608, join the conversation.
I'm unavailable to answer your call right now.
Okay, well, we're trying to get back. Meanwhile, we have another caller. We got Bruce from Texas. Bruce, go ahead.
They're not on, Jim. They were just trying to call. Here's 608 calling. Hang on.
Okay. Well, you're all welcome to call back, 540-352-4452. Rolf, what's your take on Elon Musk with Twitter? It seems to me, I've got a report.
That's a boost, another boost for Republicans, because it allows free speech, more free speech, and more free speech is good for Republicans right now, because all the issues favor Republicans, especially Trump Republicans.
Okay, well, we got.
And
Larry,
I want to make one other comment about the turnout tonight on Tuesday. One very overlooked fact, you'll see it in some polls, they'll ask for voter intensity. They'll say, "What are you certain to vote?" You know, the voters who have already voted or are certain to vote. All these polls favor, all these numbers favor Republicans. And let me give you an example. When you do a poll, it's of likely voters. Well, a likely voter is someone who's at least 51%, say, likely to vote, something more than 50%, and all the way up to 100%. Okay, that means a lot of likely voters don't actually vote, right? Okay, so just to give us a round number, if 90% of likely voters for Republicans vote and 80% of likely voters for Democrats vote, then even though the poll is tied, Republicans would win by 6%. So you could actually win by 6% even though a poll that's not even rigged says it's a tie.
Okay. Excellent.
And of course, we know that the polls are rigged. So that's another reason why there's going to be a massive red tsunami.
Oh, I do agree, Rolf. We have a caller, Larry, from Dane County. Larry, join the conversation. Larry, are you there? 608, Larry, are you there? If not,
Bruce is here. Whatever.
Bruce,
yeah.
Go ahead. Join the conversation.
Yes, hello, Rolf. On the No Agenda show last night, there was another, not just Joe Biden talking about the process of the election, but what's that?
Yeah,
was that Mitchell?
I'm here.
Okay. But
there was, hear me.
Female. Yeah.
We can, Larry, but we didn't get you before, so we're going to come right to you after Bruce makes his comment. Bruce, go ahead. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay. Yes, right. There was this female politician, I can't recall because I don't have the access to the information, to the clip right now, but she said that there's going to be delays just like there was in 2020, including water leaks. As you recall, in Atlanta, there was a big fake water leak that they used to evacuate the building of all observers so they could bring in the ready-made ballots, you know. And so that concerns me. I think there is going to be more than just a little cheating, and they're trying to get ahead of it. And my question is this: what, if anything, can be done politically about this totally corrupt justice system, including the Department of Justice?
Rolf.
Well,
you
the Department of Justice, nothing's going to be done. Nothing's going to be done one of the things the Democrat or the Republicans are going to do when they take over is they're going to investigate the Department of Justice. Now, we know how that works. Okay, the Department of Justice is firmly under control of Democrats for another 2 years. So nothing is really going to be done about what they're really doing. But the one thing that will be done is there'll be massive investigations of the Justice Department, of the bias. It's one of the top priorities of Kevin McCarthy. It's also a top priority for the Senate when they take over. There's going to be investigations to find out what they were doing. All the people are going to be subpoenaed. You know, they're going to resist the subpoenas. We know that, and it's going to be kind of a circus. But it's just going to set everything up for Trump again in 2024. Because if everybody's yelling and screaming about the Department of Justice, then Trump is going to say, I'm going to come in and clean this place up once and for all. And there's nobody better to advise President Trump on this than Rand Paul. Rand Paul being a libertarian. Libertarians have known for decades, back at least into the 80s, libertarians have known that the FBI is a massively corrupt agency. In fact, there's no provision in the U.S. Constitution to even have an FBI. It's a central police state always leads to tyranny. So Republicans are just waking up to this recently, thanks to mostly to Trump, of course. But the Justice Department they will be able to get away with things for another 2 years, but they'll at least be under investigation.
Okay, one more follow-up. Oh, go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and go, Jim, so the other callers can talk. It's really windy out here today.
Bruce, you're welcome to hang around. I come back to you. Larry, okay. Larry, join the conversation.
Hi, Rolf. This is Larry.
Hey, first of all, I have a question.
Hey, how's it going, Larry?
Good, good. I have a question I want to ask you about polls. If you look in the past, and what I've heard when I've been reading, all of the polls in the past, many have been totally inaccurate or off base. And today, many people are being called by pollsters and are deliberately giving false information and trying to bolster, you know, their own, you know, and you know, I'm just saying, how, you know, I'm looking at the Marquette poll, for instance, and the Marquette poll recently showed, you know, the governor's race was tightening, but yet Johnson Barnes thing was tightening too, and I have a hard time believing that Barnes, being one of the worst candidates I think the Democrats could run, could be gaining, picking up speed on Ron Johnson. And I just wonder what do you think about, you know, the latest Marquette poll and what we can believe.
Okay. Well, first of all, Barnes is not a good candidate. However, he does have a couple of things going for him. He's a fairly tall, sharp-looking guy. He's got the media behind him. So that's his basically what he's got. Okay. The issues he doesn't have. As far as the polling, there's a lot of sources of error. Now, people lying to pollsters is another source of error. Which direction that would go is hard to calculate. But we know that Trump supporters don't like to do polls, especially Trump supporters who didn't go to college. They don't like to do polls. So if you're a truck driver and you didn't go to college and you're not an expert on all the lingo, you don't want to listen. You don't want to get into a conversation with someone because they might try to embarrass you and make you look stupid. So people like that simply don't do polls. Now, 40, 50 years ago, if the Gallup pollster called, they'd say, "Hello, this is the Gallup company. I wonder if we get your opinion on some important issues." And people would be like, "Oh yeah, I'd be happy to do that." Okay? Well, that was 40 or 50 years ago. Nowadays, they're not really trying to get your opinion. They're trying to set up a narrative. And you may not know this, but as recently as the 1970s, polling was not done by networks. Polling was done by Gallup or by the Roper or Harris poll, I think it was called.
Yes.
It came along later. Polling was so in other words, the news media reported the news. The pollsters did the polls. The media reported the news, which was the polls. Okay. All of a sudden, the media started doing their own polls in the 80s, and initially there were people who were skeptical of it. They said, "Wait a minute now, you're supposed to report the news. Now you're creating the news, and then you're reporting on the news that you just created." Okay? Well, eventually that was all forgotten. Today people think it's just completely normal for news media to do their own polls. Of course, if you see the ability to set up a narrative, if you're creating the news and then reporting the news, you can create a narrative. It's much easier than if you're just reporting what Gallup poll did. And that's assuming Gallup poll hasn't been corrupted by other people since then. Now, one way to manipulate polling would be to not release a poll that favors Republicans. And I'm going to give you a specific example. In 2010, there were approximately 1,700 major polls of Senate and governor races in battleground states. In this year, there's only around 900. There's close to half as many polls being done now as recently as 2010. To me, that would lead me to believe that means there's a lot of polls that aren't being released. And remember, there's a statistical margin of error on a poll. So let's pretend that there's five polls done for Ron Johnson. Okay, let's say he's up by 10%, 8%, 6%. 4% and 2%. Okay, let's say they don't even tell you about the first four polls, but then they release the poll that says he's up by 2%. Okay, John Johnson's only up by 2%. It's a tight race, right? But what if he's also up by 4%, 6%, 8%, and 10%, but you never heard about those polls?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that they're doing this. Okay, that's another problem with polling, on top of the fact that Trump supporters won't do polls. Now, here's an example with that. Let's say that 10% of Republicans don't like Trump. Okay, now if you're a Republican that doesn't like Trump, you're more likely to fit the narrative, right? You're more likely to cross over and vote for a Democrat, you know, things like that, right? Okay, well, let's say that when you're calling Republicans, you can't get a hold of the pro-Trump Republicans, so you end up with more anti-Trump Republicans. So let's say 40% of the Republicans in your poll are anti-Trump Republicans, but really only 10% of Republicans are anti-Trump. Well, that's going to skew the poll right there, because then you're going to have a lot of those 40% of anti-Trump Republicans are going to tell you they're going to vote for the Democrat. It's going to skew the poll by 5% right there. So we have all kinds of problems with polling, and then you might say, well, the pollsters, they don't want to be inaccurate. It would hurt their reputation. Well, think about this. If you're a pollster and you're making money from giant corporate clients, what do they really want? Do they really want an accurate poll, or do they want a poll that fits the narrative? Because if you're a pollster and you're trying to be really accurate, what if you predict Ron Johnson to win by 7%, but he only wins by 5%? What's going to happen to you? Oh, you're a biased pro-Trump conspiracy theorist polling company, right? So mm-hmm. a pollster is going to want to underestimate Republicans. If they're off, they want to underestimate Republicans. If they overestimate Republicans, they'll be labeled as right-wing conspiracy polling, and then they'll lose their corporate clients. So they'll just continue. And I don't know how long this is going to go on, but this started even before 2016, but it's much, much worse now mm-hmm. since Trump started running. And the question is, and real clear politics is interesting. If you look at their polling archives and they have something called the Senate and governor projections, they actually adjust the polling for the polling bias in the past. They're actually building it into their predictions now. So
well,
I hope that answers your question.
It does answer my question. I appreciate the input. Here's where we're going to part ways, buddy. And I am not a never Trumper. I think the 4 years of Trump's presidency from 2016 to 2020 were some of the best years we've had, as people in this country, everything, the economy, you name it. And he did what he said he was going to do. And about Israel and whatever. I can just go on and on. However, I voted for him in 2016. I voted for him for 2020. And at this stage of the game, I don't know. For all the baggage he would bring, if he was a Republican candidate in 2024, I think he's got so much baggage and so much he's got under indictment here and under indictment there. I don't know how he could govern effectively as the president if he would win with all of the media against him and the antis and that. I can't tell you how many people I know that you even mention the word Trump and it just turns them off. I don't think he's the best candidate, Ralph. I really don't. I'd vote for him if he did run, but my candidate, and I wish he would throw his weight. That would be amazing. My candidate is Ron DeSantis. I think he could be the future of the Republican Party, and I think he'd be a great debater. He'd be I just look what he did in Florida, and he's younger. He doesn't have all this excess baggage he'd bring to it, to the race. And my feeling is that, like I said, I'd vote for Trump if he was the nominee, but I don't think he's our best nominee. And I would like Trump to just, endorse, throw his weight, his political power and his endorsements to Ron DeSantis.
Yeah,
so that's my feeling.
Well, first of all, Trump is going to run. and he's going to win. It's going to be, we're going to have a recession next year. It's much worse than what we have now. It's going to be, Biden is an idiot. Kamala Harris is even worse. It's going to be a very pro-Republican voting environment in 24. Trump will easily blow away any candidate that they run, Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg. The media isn't going to be able to stop it. They would have to the only way they could possibly beat Trump is if they started a nuclear war or something. Maybe that somehow could affect the election, or maybe they sent an asteroid towards the Earth or something and put us into martial law or something, and then they told us the asteroid missed or something after the election. But Trump will be able to govern because he's going to have a pro-Trump Congress after 2024. We're going to take the House and Senate. We're going to have large majorities in both houses, so it'll be much easier to govern. When Trump was trying to govern in 2017, he had people that didn't like him, like Paul Ryan, and lots of senators that didn't like him. Well, we're weeding out, earlier in the show I discussed this, but we're weeding out the anti-Trump people. Mitt Romney will be gone by 2025 as well. But people like McCain is gone, Jeff Flake is gone. There's a whole bunch of them that are gone. Hopefully Murkowski will be gone, although she may not. She may squeak through. But so as far as governing, that will be easy. The media will be against Trump, but not the Congress. And also the Supreme Court is not going to stop him. Now, moving back to the election itself, what I think is going to happen is Trump will pick DeSantis as his running mate to unite the party. Because, by the way, because they both live in Florida, Trump would have to move out of Florida. So maybe he'll move to Wisconsin. And if you have an extra room, Larry, maybe Trump could move in with you during 2024 election. Because
my wife kicked me out of the house. Yeah, I do have one.
He's got to move out of. He's going to have to move out. He'll probably move to a battleground state, either in the Midwest, or I suppose he could move to somewhere closer. But he's going to move out of Florida, get to DeSantis. Then Trump will do well in office because he's going to do what he promises to do. Unlike other presidents, going only last guy to do what he said was JFK before Trump. And maybe Reagan would have done that, but he was shot. But Trump will pick this, and then DeSantis will be set up to run in 2028 and then be reelected in 2032. And then by that time, the New World Order, all these bad groups, the swamp, it takes longer than 4 years to drain the swamp. The founding fathers, you know, made this Constitution with checks and balances. There's going to be entrenched resistance all over the place, but after a number of years, you can get rid of it, and that's what we need. I like DeSantis as well. I went to his rally earlier this year. I also went to a Trump rally, but that's how I see it playing out. DeSantis is supposedly going to be reporting that he's not going to run if Trump runs, and think about it. DeSantis would become a vilified enemy of a massive number of people if he tried to run against Trump, and people would be literally outraged.
I agree. The only people
who are going to run against Trump are these wannabes, like, you know, maybe Jeff Flake or someone, or Ben Sasse has a new job, but some of these idiots, Liz Cheney, you know, maybe Nikki Haley. She's going to be in town on Monday, by the way, in Madison, campaigning for Ron Johnson. But some of the people, you know, maybe Pence will give it a shot, you know. But that's the way I see it. And Trump, remember, Trump only lost because of a fluke. So if they're going to stop Trump, they're going to have to come up with some really big operation. And, you know, I don't like to say it, but, you know, what if I think Trump needs to watch out for his personal security very, very diligently.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. That's what I.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Well, I appreciate your, you know, your input on that, and I'm looking forward to getting together with you after the midterms and hashing a lot of things over. But as I say to a lot of my liberal friends that I've gotten in arguments with about who's right and who's wrong, I will respectfully say to you that I agree with you, but then both of us would be wrong. So that's how I'll leave it, Rolf. Hang in there, Larry, and thanks for all you do for the party.
Larry, hang on a second.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry.
I appreciate your call, Larry. I thought it was very thoughtful. I believe the more obvious move would be for Trump just to resume his New York City residence. I mean, he's been there forever. I do think a Trump DeSantis ticket would be overwhelmingly popular. I also believe Trump has a grip on the American electorate like I've not seen. I don't believe Jack Kennedy even evoked as much allegiance and loyalty as Donald Trump to the American people. And I therefore believe, too, that Trump, now given his experience, knows how to drain the swamp. He has Schedule F that gives him an opportunity to fire members of the executive the senior executive service that's been the core of the deep state, where the bureaucrats are able to make these decisions. He's had the experience now of being ripped off and betrayed and deceived by everyone, up to and including his son-in-law and even his own daughter. He's wise. He's wise from his experience. I believe he would be a devastating opponent of the deep state. He would drain the swamp. And the Democrats were one for the hills. Now, whether I disagree with Rolf on one issue only, which has to do with the filibuster, I have felt the filibuster was very important to maintain a certain balance of power. And I'm very apprehensive because, as many times has been observed in relation to the Democrats' desire to abolish the filibuster, that they would rue the day when then the Republicans came in power and they could not filibuster. So that, to me, is the one exception where otherwise I think Rolf has it pretty much right, except I believe that they're going to try to finesse the whole midterm, either nuclear war or what I was reading in this Ron Klein thing was he was even suggesting Biden might impose martial law in the U.S. because those who are endorsing the big lie are a threat to democracy. I mean, I see this. It sounds far-fetched, but I don't rule it out.
No, I saw that.
But Larry, let's get your comments and go back to Rob, yours.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to ask you at this stage, do you think his age would be a factor? I mean, he's over 80 or getting closer. He is over 80. And do you think, he'd be like in his mid-80s?
He was born in June 14th, 1946 is his birthday.
Okay, so is that a factor? No, Larry, I don't think it is. He's only 76. I myself am going to be 82 in December, so I don't have any age discrimination if you're qualified. On the other hand, if you're incompetent, look, Kamala Harris, she's relatively young, but she's a nitwit. She has no brain whatsoever. There's a vacuum between her ears. And the Biden now, it's clearly demented. He's obviously totally cognitively compromised. How embarrassing that the Democrats, that the world is looking at the United States and laughing because we allow individuals of this degree of incompetence to be our official representatives to the world. It is shocking. So, Trump is in really good shape. It's got to do with your mind and how much you exercise it, and it seems to me he is still sharp as a tack.
Okay. I think you're right, too, but just thought I'd throw that out for your conversation.
I like your call, Larry. Let's get Rolf before you depart. Rolf to comment on our exchange just now.
Well, I guess there's
all right, Rolf.
A lot of things have to do with nothing breeds success like winning. Basically, if Trump pulls these Senate candidates through, he personally recruited Herschel Walker, Dr. Oz, J.D. Vance, and Ted Budd, for example, and also promoted some of these other candidates. If they all win, it's going to make Trump look really good, okay? Because remember, these people made it through primaries in some cases. Ted Budd had to beat the former governor of North Carolina in the primary, okay?
Dr. Oz
was the second pick because the first guy was named Sean Parnell, and he had to drop out because of an issue with his divorce. So now Trump goes back and picks another guy, and then if he wins, it's going to be huge. J.D. Vance is cruising to a victory in Ohio. So this makes Trump look good, because the argument is always, Trump has weak candidates. You know, that's what the media always says. They say it over and over, mm-hmm. And they want you to believe it. I think that you've heard too many mainstream news stories, Larry. And I would suggest you read the Gateway Pundit, Breitbart News, and maybe the Daily Wire. Those are the three.
I do read all three
more often.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
And you know, I'm just hoping that for a tremendous red wave. Because if I think Ron Johnson gets in, Joe Biden and his association with China and stuff like that is going to make him a treasonous person. And I know Ron will follow through on that. And with the hearings and that, with him and Hunter and the laptop and what's been going on with the ties to China and that. And I am so looking forward to that. I'm hoping and praying that that happens.
Larry, I want to compliment
Rand Paul's going to be the chairman of the committee that investigates the origins of the COVID virus. And
there's
also
another
one, Rand Paul is a doctor. So it makes it a lot easier if you're already a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, I want to compliment you on the excellence of your call. This is one of the best calls we've ever had to the show about any issue. And I'm just very, very pleased. Extremely thoughtful. Really, really delighted. Rolf, any further comments for Larry before we have to part? I'm just so happy he called in.
Are there any other callers?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Larry, for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Talk to you later, Rolf.
Good job.
You bet. Bye.
Great call, Larry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce, if you want to add your thoughts to our exchange with Larry, go right ahead.
Yeah, a point and then a question. I don't think war with Russia needs to be or actually will be nuclear. If they keep it in theater, because Putin is getting ready. The time's almost come for the winter offensive. And I could see the U.S. military being involved directly with Russia to defend Kyiv and the part that still remains Ukraine. So it could be an in-theater war. But remember, go back to World War II. Once hostilities broke out, that freed the government to shut down the America First program and go after political dissidents and censor the news outright, not having to go through back channels where they are now.
I'm with him on that. I mean, if there's an escalation of the war, then you what you do is you put Trump into a position of, oh, he's not supporting the troops. You put the, you know, because the Republicans, remember, the Congress has to vote money to the troops. Now, we've already been voting money to Ukraine, you know. There's been a lot of money voted to the Ukraine already. And, you know, even Ron Johnson has been voting for that money, you know. So I'm just saying is that there's lots of different forces at work here. And the military-industrial complex does have a lot of power right now. So if there's an escalation of the war, now on the other hand, Trump has turned Republicans against the war. I saw some polling data that says at least half of all Republicans are completely out of the Ukraine, even as far as giving any money to them. And that's up from like 6%, you know, a year ago. So there's a lot of people who are against these wars. Also, Rand Paul, of course, is a strong advocate for keeping out of this. What the military-industrial complex is really good at doing is they drag you in on something, and then they get you stuck, and then you're stuck like you can't get out. Lyndon Johnson had the problem, and George Bush had the problem. It's a problem, and you're right now. If the Congress becomes Republican, then that could work against Biden. You know, he's going to have to tell us what's really going on over there. You know, we haven't even been told by the news media, why did Putin even invade Ukraine? We don't even really know why. I've read different theories about it, and some of them seem plausible, but we know that Putin started doing this right after Trump left office. Then Putin started doing that big buildup, and then and then he invaded like what, 6 months later. So right now the problem is that there's skepticism of being involved, massive skepticism. Another problem is Trump has lots of people in the deep state, and if you're going to try to orchestrate some sort of false flag operation, like a 9/11 style event to get an attack, to get public opinion for an attack. The problem is that it's harder to do that kind of stuff when Trump people are some of them are still embedded into the apparatus. So that's why a foreign operation would be much easier to do. That would be more probable. But if it's a completely foreign event, then maybe Americans won't care about it as much either. So you're right. You're right. We have to watch out.
Right, and the Republicans won't take office until January 20th or thereabouts. So the lame duck Democrat Congress and Biden, this will be right during the Russian offensive. So yeah,
that's another thing. There will be a lame duck. I mean, it's actually earlier than the 20th is for presidents. I think that Congress comes in like a week earlier, maybe. I think it's a week earlier. I'm not sure. Maybe it's two. But you're right. There's going to be a lame duck Congress, and something fishy could happen in December, and the Congress could vote for stuff that would never get voted through, you know, maybe after Republicans take over. So we have to watch. We have to keep our eyes open. We got to watch what's going on in there, because they're going to try to pull something. I agree with you on that.
Well, any thoughts on Tulsi Gabbard?
What about Tulsi?
Well, Tulsi Gabbard is a VP running with Trump. Is that even a possibility?
Okay, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, Tulsi's out campaigning. She was just in Illinois. She was just in Utah. She was in New Hampshire. And I know she was in other places. She's really not a good VP candidate, though. She'd be better like being in some sort of cabinet position. They'll put her in charge of, you know, maybe the CIA or something. But she's not really a good presidential for a VP. It wouldn't really unite the party and help Trump get elected. She'd be better as some sort of a campaign manager for the reelection campaign or something. And she'll be out working for Trump to get him elected in 2024. So
yeah, she's really wrong. Ron DeSantis. Yeah, that word triggers me because he's a bigger Zionist than Trump ever was. And we don't need any more of that, as far as I'm concerned. We need to be America first, not Israel first, Ukraine second, and America last.
I agree with that. Well, unless there's some, you know, it's up to Trump and DeSantis. As far as I can tell, most of the news you hear about them is fake news. So 90% of the stuff about Ron DeSantis and Trump is fake news. So my sense is that they're friends behind the scenes. They may be gentlemanly competitors, but Trump is way ahead. Now, DeSantis, you know, has like over $100 million, too. You know that DeSantis has almost as much money as Trump. He might even have more. Did you know who the three presidential candidates in 2024 who have the most money? Take a guess.
Hmm.
This includes Democrats. There's three candidates that already have over $100 million to run in 2024. You know who they are?
No.
Trump, DeSantis, and J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. Those are the three. Hmm. And by the way, you know who Trump's first real estate deal was in 1976, his first major real estate deal? You know who his business partner was when he bought the Vanderbilt Hotel? Pritzker, one of the Pritzkers. Yep.
Okay.
I don't think it's the same. I don't know which Pritzker it was, but it wasn't. It was one of the Pritzkers. So I'm just telling you, that's another guy that could be the nominee is J.D. Pritzker, of the governor of Illinois. So we'll see. Rolf Stradamus makes accurate predictions, and he's very rarely does he make an incorrect prediction. So
we approach the 58th.
It has happened before, though.
Yes.
Is there any more callers, or do you want to do any, what do you want to do next?
Just give us, some further thoughts. We have about 5 minutes on the air, Rolf. So, I think we are going to have a red wave if we're allowed to have a vote. I'm far more concerned about their disrupting or stealing than you appear to be, but I share your conviction that if things go forward, it's going to be a massive wipeout in favor of the Republicans, and that I do believe Trump is by far the strongest candidate. I'm very enthusiastic about DeSantis. I like Tulsi. I like Ron Johnson, too, as dark horse candidates. Ron Johnson has been doing a superb job in the Senate. Rolf, I don't see any senator.
What's that?
I don't see any senator.
I wanted to ask you a question about the Pelosi case before the show's over.
Sure.
Okay. At the beginning of your show, you mentioned that the guy who broke in has not been charged with breaking and entering. Is that true?
Yes.
He's not been charged with breaking in. That's very interesting. Now, another person pointed out to me that the hole in the glass is not big enough for anyone to crawl through. Have you heard that before?
Oh, it's a relatively small hole. Yeah, presumably you'd be reaching in to unlock the door. But yeah. We've had video even of the glass on the outside too.
Okay.
So it's broken.
And then
from
you
the
said
inside.
That if they're struggling over the hammer, then who's going to answer the door if they're struggling over the hammer?
Right. Exactly. That's right. So you've got the San Francisco district attorney lying her face off for the Democrats, Rolf, and it's so blatant and so obvious, disgusting.
Well, like I said, I think this is a case where you have a break. I mean, you know the Milwaukee Bucks head coach has had his car stolen in Milwaukee a couple of days ago. Did you hear about that?
Tell me.
See, this is the kind of stuff that says, wait a minute now, maybe we do need to do something about crime, because it gets in the news. The Milwaukee Bucks, Mike Budenholzer, he used to be with the Spurs, had his car stolen. Now they found it a few, 20 blocks away a few hours later, but they didn't catch the person that did it. Now, when you have a break-in in San Francisco, the initial reaction is simply, oh, there's more crime in San Francisco, and now even the big shots are finding out what crime is like. Not just the regular people, the little people. No, it's the big shots. They even have crime. What I think they're just trying to do is spin it, because, like I said, if the guy's charged with all this stuff, he may very well be guilty of this stuff. But whether he knows this guy or not is in many ways irrelevant. If he actually did try to kill him with a hammer or whatever he did, attack him with a hammer, it really doesn't make any difference if you knew him or not. But what does make a difference, for politically, it makes a difference, okay? Because if it's just some random guy breaking in who's a Trump supporter, that's what they're trying to tell us, that's different than, first of all, if he was a Trump supporter, he probably wouldn't be hanging out with Paul Pelosi. So that information doesn't really make much difference legally, but it makes a lot of difference politically the way they spin it. I think they're just trying to cover it up until the election, and then they'll tell us what happened later after the election's over. Because
they're trying to spin it as though the guy was MAGA when he's a homeless guy, lives in a bus in Berkeley, not a bastion of conservatism, when he has a BLM
he's
flag.
In a nudist colony. He lives in a nudist colony. What?
It's all absurd.
Castro nudist colony.
Yeah. I spent a fair amount of talking about Hillary's attack on Carrie Lake and trying to spin the attack on Paul Pelosi as though this were a consequence of conservatives encouraging violence. But there's a report here. This works badly for the Democrats on any level because it draws attention to homelessness, to mental health, to increasing crime, all issues where the Democrats have been derelict massively. So even if you took their official account, plus this guy's an illegal from Canada, Rolf, he's not even here legally. So you got an illegal.
That's right. He's an illegal alien. So now apparently they said they might want to deport him. Okay, well, that's the one illegal alien that they might want to deport. So if you attack another Democrat, then they'll deport you. But yeah. the whole story doesn't help Democrats. It helps Republicans more than Democrats. It's just another example where the spin is simply not working. And we'll see how the voting. By the way, you know, there's another election. I don't know if you heard about. Have you heard of Katie Porter? She's a Democratic. She's the one that was having a threesome in her office, and then she blamed it on her husband. Okay, and then she got voted out of office, and then she. Well, she's got some big money behind her because I saw her book. She's got a book out at the Barnes & Noble. I heard that she raised $23 million for a house race. That's a lot of money. And she's been flooding the ads. Well, apparently she's down by 7% in the latest poll. So this is one of these people. Katie Porter is one of these people. She's a young, a fairly attractive-looking person who's been groomed by some billionaire to be a future person, and this is another flame out, just like Anthony Weiner. Remember him? He was being groomed to be a governor or a senator, and it ended up being a groomer of, you know, whatever he became. But they've had a lot of flame outs of these people, and even someone like Kamala Harris, she was another person. She's really not very good at doing interviews. She's just not good. Her poll numbers stink. She's a problem for the Democrats because she'd presumably be the front runner if Biden says he's not running, which is probably what's going to happen. Biden will announce that he's not running after the election.
Right.
And that makes Harris the de facto front runner. She's a terrible candidate. You know, Larry's worrying about a Democrat. I mean, Trump would. You know how much Trump would beat Kamala Harris in head to head?
80-20.
I mean, Trump is already ahead in all the battlegrounds. If you do look at the polling of Trump versus Biden, he's way ahead of Biden by 6-10% in all the battleground states. He's ahead of Kamala Harris by 10-15%.
Yeah,
it's a massive difference.
Yeah,
she's like an albatross.
Well. You love this. Even George Will is saying they shouldn't run with either Harris or Biden. They should give him the boot. Even George Will.
Yeah, even George Will, who's another aunt, he hates Trump. But yeah. You know, they know this. People know this. The question is, you know, Biden will end up just doing what he'll just do what they want him to do. He's not going to run. Harris. What I think they did with Harris, when they put her as the border czar, I think that was a tactic that was done to make sure that she's not the presidential front runner.
Hey, Ralph. Great job, my friend.
All right, thanks, Jim. That was a great time.
Excellent. Well, thanks. On all caps. Larry, especially good talk. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...